Hello and welcome to the Friday, December 13th, 2024 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording from Washington, D.C. We'll start with a little bit sort of a cleanup item after Patch Tuesday, and that's, well, the Windows 10 end of life and what that means for Windows 11 and how to upgrade systems. There's one issue where Microsoft has gone a little bit forth and back on what hardware is exactly required in order to run Windows 11, and that forth and back led to some problems where people were able to upgrade to Windows 11 when that hardware was considered sufficient. But later, as the hardware was no longer considered sufficient, some patches may actually not apply. Hardware item here that caused a lot of the confusion is TPM version 2.0. Microsoft, when Windows 11 originally came out, sort of doubled down on its use of TPM version 2.0, the trusted computing module, in order to support a lot of the advanced cryptographic security features that Windows 11 offers. Later, they did allow installing Windows 11 on some systems without TPM 2.0, but that has now been reversed. You need TPM 2.0 in order to run Windows 11, so patches only install on systems with TPM 2.0. So I'll link to an article by Forbes that explains a little bit that forth and back, and also to a post by Microsoft that does explain its latest stance on TPM 2.0. And the Oasis security research team found an interesting vulnerability in Microsoft Azure's multi-factor authentication implementation that I think is not unique to Microsoft. Actually, I remember a few years back, Facebook having a similar issue. Is that just like for normal passwords, you do need some kind of rate limit and lockout in order to restrict how many attempts an attacker can use in order to brute force the multi-factor authentication password. In this case, the usual time-based six-digit key. Not only did Microsoft not establish a rate limit, so it was possible to essentially try as often as you want until you manage to brute force the second factor, but they also were quite forgiving about getting the second factor right. And passwords like the ones used by Microsoft are usually derived from a timestamp, and you always allow for a little bit slippage when it comes to times. Now, these days, times are usually pretty well synchronized with NTP in modern devices. But Microsoft allowed for slippage of up to 2 minutes, which by far exceeds the recommendation of 30 seconds. That, of course, made it even easier than to brute force the correct one-time password. But the real problem here is the rate limit. There's no lockout or anything like this implemented to prevent how many passwords a particular user may attempt. Microsoft fixed the issue relatively quickly after Oasis reported it to them. Oasis also recommends that you monitor for failed second factor attempts. That's also something that I often see missing, where you may monitor for wrong passwords, but not for right password and then a bad second factor. And then a couple patches to consider before the weekend. First of all, we do have yet another arbitrary file upload vulnerability in Apache's Struts 2 library. This is yet again a path traversal issue. There have been similar vulnerabilities in the past, and they were heavily exploited. Leads to arbitrary code execution if you're uploading the right file. You're vulnerable if you're using the file upload interceptor. If you're not using it, then you're safe. One big problem here, first of all, you must upgrade to Struts 6.4, and the action file upload mechanism has changed. So as part of the patch, this mechanism has changed, so you must rewrite your code as well if you are using the action file upload mechanism. And Microsoft published an article about how a Russian threat actor that Microsoft calls Secret Blizzard is attacking soldiers in the Ukraine. Now, this article was often reported as Russia attacking Starlink. What's actually happening here is that Russian actors here are using well-known malware to essentially infect systems, but if they then figure out that these systems are connected to Starlink and are likely associated with Ukraine, then they actually install additional malware. So no specific vulnerability here as far as Starlink goes. It's just that the fact that these systems are connected via Starlink is being used to figure out whether or not these systems may be used by the Ukrainian military. Well, and this is it for today. Again, I'll be in DC this week at the CDI conference here teaching our Defending Web Application class. My last conference is here for the year. If you see me around, I'll always have some stickers with me if anybody wants any. And thanks, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.